As the time drew near for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely took the road for Jerusalem and sent messengers ahead of him. These set out, and they went into a Samaritan village to make preparation for him. But the people would not receive him because he was making for Jerusalem. Seeing this, the disciples James and John said, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and burn them up?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went off to another village. As they traveled along, they met a man on the road who said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another, to whom he said, "Follow me," replied, "Let me go and bury my father first." But he answered, "Leave the dead to bury their dead. Your duty is to go and spread the good news of the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, sir, but first let me go and say goodbye to my people at home." Jesus said to him, "Once the hand is laid on the plow, no one who looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus resolutely took the road to Jerusalem, that is, going voluntarily to meet his death. He was going to the place where lambs were sacrificed. To go via Samaria was to take a short cut, as it were, and where perhaps he could make friends with the people who did not normally consort with Jews. In accepting the rejection of Samaritans, he was teaching the disciples that, when announcing the divine doctrine, we must be tolerant and meek. We must be filled with patience, be without bitterness. Rather than praying, as Elijah did, for fire from heaven to come down on those who will not listen. James and John were aptly called sons of thunder, for they obviously believed that they could command the elements, including fire from heaven. With hatred and indignation, they wanted vengeance, instead of loving their neighbors and accepting that wherever there are those who, though disagreeing with our faith and morals, are loved without exception by God. Then came the man they met on the road. Who was he? He was obviously filled with presumption. He stated that he would follow Jesus wherever he went. How could he? He could follow Christ's teaching as it is directed towards us, but it is not possible to go wherever Jesus is because he is incomprehensible and is not confined by time or by space. Foxes, who are of no use to anyone and are seldom tamed, have holes, and birds, who were frequently used to represent wickedness, have nests. But Jesus has no thought of this world's goods and comfort. God rewards those who follow him because they love him and not for what they can get out of the church or for the kudos of following a great preacher. The response of Jesus to the man who asked that he could bury his father before joining him appears harsh at first, particularly as Jesus has taught us to honor our father and mother. But this man's father was probably not dead, but his son wished to stay with his family until his father did die. It could have been for years. How often do children stay with their parents because they have not the courage or the consideration of their parents to leave home where life is too comfortable and usually more cost-effective? Consider, too, the children who stay at home to look after demanding parents for years, sometimes with great and willing sacrifice. But what did Jesus mean when he said, "Let the dead bury their dead"? We understand this as a twofold death, one a natural death, the other a death to sin. If this is the case, then Jesus was merely saying that there were other relations of his who did not believe in Jesus and his teaching, and so were spiritually dead, and could support the man's father until he died. Jesus said, "They're dead, not you're dead." Jesus had said to this would-be disciple, "Follow me," so he knew that this man really believed in him. Our duty is to God first, and preferred to our reverence and love of parent, and human activities are things to be postponed to the divine. The third would-be disciple suggested that he postponed his following of Christ. How often have we put off doing a good deed, and so have never carried it out, such as writing a letter of condolence, visiting a sick person, writing the thank you note we intended, a phone call to a lonely person that we keep putting off because they go on talking about their troubles for so long. It is said that if one delays carrying out a good intention immediately, it seldom gets done at all. Our blessed Lord speaks of putting the hand to the plough. It is impossible to drive a plough, or anything else for that matter, straight ahead when one is looking backwards, and it can be disastrous. Remember what happened to Lot's wife? We look forward to the dawn, not to the sunset, no matter how beautiful the sunset appears. We very often look back with regret, but we look ahead to the future with faith, hope, and expectation. If we look back to our life before we have really recognized that Jesus is the true and straight road to life everlasting, we can be drawn back again through force of habit to our old crooked ways of sin. We cannot change the past, but we can improve on what has passed if, in future, we follow that straight road, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus.